This is an interview with Mrs. Helen Bosack for the Youngstown State University History of St. Nicholas Byzantine Catholic Parish Project by Mary Lee Sherilla on December 11, 1986 at 10:30 a.m. at Mrs. Bosack's home. Helen, before we get started talking about your involvement with the church, can you give me a little bit of background about yourself?
Okay, my maiden name was Helen Vizdos, and I lived in Poland, and I was born there. Mm-hmm. And I'm one of nine children.
How are you?
I have three sisters mm-hmm. and five brothers. And we all grew up on a 118-acre farm.
Mm.
And we worked there, and we went to Roman Catholic Church, Holy Trinity.
You went to Holy Trinity?
In Camel.
Okay.
And I went to Poland Union School and graduated from Poland High School.
Okay.
And I was involved in sports there and basketball and all that. And
mm-hmm.
My goal was to be a bookkeeper, and I was a bookkeeper for 4 years at Poland High School.
While you were in
school? For the principal, while I was in school.
While you were
mm-hmm.
in school.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Was that one of those work-study programs? Did they have that at the time or not yet?
Well, no. They just picked out a bookkeeper that was involved like with a secretarial work.
Uh-huh.
And that did help me a lot.
Uh-huh.
I was like bookkeeper and secretary to the principal.
Oh, okay. Then after you graduated, did you get a job or did you...
Yes, I went to work for Strauss's. I was a bookkeeper for Strauss's. It was called the Squares, and each department had their sale items in the middle of the store,
mm-hmm.
and I was bookkeeper there. And then, the first year I worked in the toy department, and the
mm-hmm.
first day I was there, I made the total sales of the, how could I say it? The most that they ever did.
Really?
The first day. Yeah. I just
neat.
Whizzed around that toy department and computerized it, and anybody wanted anything, I ran there, and so I made the
mm-hmm.
biggest total for the day.
Good for you. Did they give you any kind of recognition for that?
No, I got a raise the next
day. Oh,
did
you? Very good. Uh-huh. How long did you work at Strauss then?
Till I got married in 1955.
Okay.
And I worked there till I was, let's see, we were married in 55, and I worked, let's see, 2 months after we got married, I got pregnant, so I worked 4 months after that,
mm-hmm.
and the doctor says, no more on my feet.
Mm-hmm. Time to quit.
Time to quit.
Okay, backtracking a little bit, how did you meet Tom, your husband?
Well, my brother lived next door to Bosack's for a while,
mm-hmm.
and he had two children at the time, and I was babysitting while they had their third child, and that's how I met Tom. He just came home from the service,
mm-hmm.
and really, we just says hello, and then after I left, my dad needed me out on a farm, so
uh-huh.
so he came out there searching for me, so that's how we met and started dating.
Cute.
Then
uh-huh.
we were married June 4th, 1955.
June 4th, 1955, and you were married at St. Nicholas Church?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You want to tell me a little bit about that?
Well, how could I put it? Father Romack was there, Father John Romack Sr.
Okay.
And I would go to church with him on Sundays to get familiar with the Byzantine Rite.
Mm-hmm.
And then Father Romack married us. June 4th, we were the last ones to be married. Well, there was a couple after us that got married the same day.
Mm-hmm.
And then while we were on our honeymoon, Father Romack passed away.
Mm-hmm.
So he was the last mm-hmm. one to marry us.
I'll bet that was a shock to you.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
We called home, and then my mother-in-law told us that he had died.
Mm-hmm.
But going back to starting out with the Byzantine Rite, I remember the first time I had to go to confession, we went behind the altar,
mm-hmm.
and they confessed there, and they put this sheet or something over us, and it was the strangest thing. That was the last time I went to confession. I went back to the Roman Rite.
Uh-huh, for that.
Right.
Uh-huh. Yeah, were there any other differences that struck you at that
well,
time?
Well, it did. The first time I went to church, all they did was bless themselves, you know, and then they blessed themselves, you know, right to left. And mm-hmm. to this day, I still mm-hmm. can't familiarize
really?
With that.
Uh-huh.
But when they blessed themselves so many times, it was just so strange to me because
mm-hmm.
we didn't do that, you know.
Right.
And we didn't genuflect in the Byzantine Rite. But it was mm-hmm. nice. I learned a lot from it. And I've been there ever since.
Now, you were raised Roman Catholic, right?
Yes.
Holy Trinity is a Roman Catholic church.
Yes.
Now, did you know at the time that you were married that the church does encourage the woman to go with the husband's rite, or was that just something you wanted to do on your own?
Well, no, it was encouraged at the
uh-huh.
you go to the husband's church,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did your own pastor tell you that, too, at Holy Trinity?
Well, he wanted to marry us there, but mm-hmm. he says since you follow the husband, you know,
mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
go to the Byzantine rite.
Mm-hmm.
My father was kind of against it. He wanted to stay in the Roman rite, but
mm-hmm.
Like you said, the Byzantine wanted the men and the women there.
Okay. What were your early years in the parish like for you then, as a young wife and then eventually a new mother too?
Well, like I said, we went there every Sunday and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the singing. It was different, you know, because they responded to every thing that the priest did.
Mm-hmm.
And then as the children came, we took the children every Sunday. They came with us every week.
Mm-hmm.
And they were baptized there and raised there and went to school, Byzantine Catholic Central.
Okay. Is there anything significant that you could remember about their baptisms? Which pastors were the...
Well, I remember Father Laskew baptized our Kathy, the third child.
Mm-hmm.
Father Romack, I believe, the second father, baptized
mm-hmm.
Dolores. And Tommy, I think it was, he was there at the time.
Mm-hmm. Were the, was the ceremony itself the same as it is now, or was there anything different about it at that time, of the baptismal ceremony?
Well, they did it privately, you know, after Mass and everything
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
You had your own private ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
And they baptized the baby. They sort of did everything the same today.
Mm-hmm.
And they took you to the side altar there, and they had different prayers there, too. I don't see that today.
With the mother, you mean?
With the mother,
uh-huh.
mm-hmm. And then
mm-hmm.
we walked out of church, and then you were called, you know, you were mothered or something,
uh-huh.
and then you came back
mm-hmm.
in with the baby,
mm-hmm.
and the godparents did the same.
Okay.
I don't think they had that, the big baptismal bowl there, you know, they didn't have that.
Okay.
That was brought in later. But it was mostly the same.
Pretty much the same as it
mm-hmm.
is now. Okay. Did you feel at this time that there was that the church had ways for you to be involved?
Well, at that time, I don't remember there being any kind of doings outside of maybe a few dances, but I don't know who took care of that. But,
okay.
That came along later.
Mm-hmm.
But there was nothing for us. I know the Pedoe House was in existence up
mm-hmm.
on Youngstown Pond Road, but that was before the children were in school.
Okay. So when did you become more active in the parish?
Well, when Dolores was in first grade,
mm-hmm.
That's when we got involved.
Mm-hmm.
Father Romack was there at the time, and he made at least one parent from the family. They had to come to the meetings, and they weren't allowed to have any excuses. If one didn't come, the other had to come.
Okay.
And then they had all the family, at least one, like I say, and it was a total attendance, 100%,
okay.
for the first couple months.
Uh-huh.
And we got involved pretty much, and we started a PACE club, which was called Parents Association for Catholic Education.
Okay. Do you want to tell me a little bit about that? How or when was that organized, the PACE Club?
Well, that became in existence in 19, 64 in September.
Mm-hmm.
Father Romack organized it, and he was pastor of St. Nicholas Church at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then he appointed my husband, Tom Bosak, president at the time.
He was appointed then.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how that started out. And in that first year, we had a Thanksgiving turkey raffle and dance.
That was your first activity?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so it was Father Romack's idea to organize the Pace
right.
Club?
Right. Mm-hmm. He wanted everybody mm-hmm. to get involved
mm-hmm.
that had children in school.
Okay. And what was the purpose then of the Pace Club?
Well, the purpose was to make money so the parents wouldn't have to pay tuition. So we were involved in like the different church functions, working at the Pitoy house. At least one parent had to work there, or if they couldn't, then they washed the dishes and pots and pans after. So the husbands and wives did that. And then we had dances, and we got involved with that, raising money, and fashion
mm-hmm.
shows and
mm-hmm.
card parties.
You had a lot of activities then.
Right, rummage sales, bake sales. We had a bake sale once a month,
mm-hmm.
and everybody had to bake that had children in school, plus, you know, anybody else that wanted to.
Was the membership strictly for parents of BCC children, or were other parents involved too?
Well, it was mostly for the parents that had children up at the school,
mm-hmm.
but if others wanted to come, they were invited.
Okay. And did you have good turnouts at the in the beginning? At your
in the beginning we uh-huh. did, uh-huh. Because mm-hmm. you have to have one from each family.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You said one was required at least. Okay. About how many people would you say belonged at that time?
Ooh, we had a list of the parents. I think there were a good 50 or more.
Okay.
Oh, I have a list. Oh, here it goes. There were 188 children and 112 families
mm-hmm.
at the time, between 64 and 65. The list is here.
Okay.
And then the different ones that went to church or to the school that had children up at the school, well, they're listed in here too.
Okay. Maybe I should mention, Helen, that we are looking at a scrapbook that you put together for the Pace Club, right?
Right.
Uh-huh.
We started this in 64, like I says, and I typed up all the newsletters and took all the pictures, and we put them in this Pace book, like a little scrapbook.
Uh-huh. I'm glad you did this. Did you have a reason at the time? Did you think that, you know, someday we would be looking back at this and recalling the different things?
Well, at that time we wanted to go back each year to remember what we did the past year. But
mm-hmm.
we had the dances and all that
mm-hmm.
too. And all this is in here. Anything that referred to the Pace Club is put in this scrapbook.
Okay. I see you sold Easter candy.
Right.
It's just a bingo and a card party.
Card party, yeah. We
fashion
had card
show.
Parties
mm-hmm.
and fashion show, and I was one of the models. And our little daughter, she modeled the communion dresses because she was making her first Holy Communion that year.
Oh, that's
yeah.
cute.
And uh-huh. we had to go out and get all the prizes from the merchants, you know, the
mm-hmm.
ones that we would go to, they
mm-hmm.
would donate something. And we had like over 100 prizes. And
mm-hmm.
We had a really good turnout. And a really good time.
That's good. And did you profit well from it?
Oh yes. Uh-huh. Well, like I says, we used the money for different things up at school, and anything that went up at PTG, that if we had a card party up there, well then that would go into, I think they bought a video recorder one time, different movie projectors and things
mm-hmm.
for the school
mm-hmm.
at that time too.
So you supported the school by all these activities.
Right,
mm-hmm.
right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then we had school picnics, and we dressed up, different people dressed up like clowns, and here's Ann Kraniak sitting on the dunking machine, and
uh-huh.
I was up there too, and that was the one year that we made the most money ever in that festival that
oh,
we had. Because
uh-huh.
everybody was involved,
uh-huh.
and we made, I forget what it was, $25,000 or something
really?
That one year.
Was
yeah.
that the summer festival?
This was the picnic up at the Grove.
Oh, okay. Oh, boy, that's a good profit, more than we even were making now.
Well, we had more booths at the time, and it seemed like the more booths you have, the more profit you're going to make.
Uh-huh.
See, now
mm-hmm.
they just have a few of them,
mm-hmm.
and they're not really making money. You
mm-hmm.
have to have merchandise there. You have to give to receive,
mm-hmm.
I mean, in these festivals.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have the booths.
You have to have something people want to
right,
try for.
Right.
Mm-hmm. How did you get so many people to become involved and to work for those festivals at that time?
Well, it seemed like it was more like a community. I mean,
mm-hmm.
It was the families that were going to, you know, had children going to that school,
mm-hmm.
and they seemed to want to get involved.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
Like I said, Father Rumack started this project where at least one parent had to come.
Mm-hmm.
So then the, you know, spouse would come too at the functions. And each one had their job to do, and they stuck to it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you couldn't do it, you had to get somebody else to take your place. See?
Oh, okay.
So that's why we
okay.
had a real uh-huh. good membership.
Because
mm-hmm. if you couldn't come to one of the functions, if you were in charge of going to the Pidoy house that Friday, you
mm-hmm.
went like once a month. You were scheduled to go. Now, if you couldn't go, or your husband couldn't go, or wife, then you had to get somebody else to take your place.
That was still your responsibility.
Right.
That's a good
right,
idea.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So that way there was always people working at the Pidoy house.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't by chance like now you go or they're not there.
Mm-hmm.
Father didn't have to call anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You were scheduled to go. You mm-hmm. went or got a replacement.
That's a good idea because a lot of times people will cancel out on whatever
right,
the activity
right.
and then we're stuck.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And did you have some events strictly for the children at this time? I see you had a lot of
right. We had
adult
we had St. Nicholas Day like little Christmas party for them,
mm-hmm.
and St. Nicholas came. Everybody got a gift, and then Easter time. I think I don't know if we had any Easter bunnies coming at the time, but they would like I said with the fashion shows. They were involved with that. And a lot of times at these festivals, you had to bring your kids along. So, you know, they helped out different things,
uh-huh.
too. But they were involved a little, but not like the youth should be.
There was no youth group
no.
at that time, was
no.
there?
No,
mm-hmm. I didn't think so. Okay. So it was mainly still a family type of a
right.
Group.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, this is something that was interesting to me. This community club award, the project that you were involved in, was that sponsored by a radio station or something, a television station maybe?
Right,
mm-hmm.
WYTV sponsored it, and then, oh gee, I forgot, we should have read this beforehand,
mm-hmm.
but, oh I forget, we used to go to like Arby's or different places, different merchants. And you would have to get wrappers and things like that. And the most that was brought in, they got a prize.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we won that one year.
For the whole year?
For the whole year.
Oh.
We brought all the wrappers, like I said, and everything like that. And
mm-hmm.
WYT.
Different merchants
it.
Gave you so many points for their products. Is that how
well,
it was?
Right. Well, uh-huh. no. We used to go in the garbage bins and
oh,
pick out
really?
All the you were supposed to go and eat the product and bring the wrapper.
That's
me
cute.
And this other woman, we used
uh-huh.
to go in the, when people would be eating, we'd ask for their
uh-huh.
Wrappers or something.
Oh,
we were
cute.
In competition.
Uh-huh.
Oh, but we won that year. I
mm-hmm.
don't know. But this is the prizes that we would get, like $100 for the different guilds and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And but that was another.
So you found all kinds of ways to raise money, didn't
right,
you?
Right, right.
Uh-huh.
Well,
uh-huh.
we
That's
wanted
neat.
To, you know,
get another
involved.
Another thing that was is sort of a lost side of the times, you might say, is I noticed you would ask people for the stamp books, green stamps or whatever.
Right, right. That was involved with the card
mm-hmm.
parties too.
Mm-hmm.
If they couldn't bring a gift or if they couldn't go out to a merchant to get a
mm-hmm.
free gift, then they would bring their green stamps and then
mm-hmm.
we would go and get merchandise from the green stamp place
mm-hmm.
for the card parties.
That's good.
So the whole church was involved in that too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's something we don't have anymore.
Right. Now here in 66, here's the events like we had there. Tells you about the bake sale and then that you know, CCA camping we had. We had card parties, teenage hop. Now, we did have the teenagers involved, too.
Okay.
They had a little dance. And then Father Eugene's farewell party. And
that was Father Yaskonich, right?
Yes.
Uh-huh. How long was he at our parish, do you recall? He was an assistant for, what,
right.
a year or so?
I think about 2 years.
For 2 years?
Mm-hmm. And then Father John Lucas came, and then he left in September of 66. So we had a farewell party for him.
Mm-hmm. He was just there a short time, too?
Short time.
Mm-hmm.
And then in September, after Father John Lucas left, Father William Lef Kulik came. Now he was, and then Father Francis Urich was the new assistant.
Okay.
Now they were really involved with the, you know, Pace Club and the children and all that. And he continued on with this. And he was involved like up at the school and the cemetery. He took men up there and cleaned the cemetery and all that too. So then we were involved again with the turkey dances, donut sales, and we had different functions at the school. Like 1 year we'd have a makeup demonstration, and then another time we'd have like how to make Christmas centerpieces. Somebody would come and show us.
Craft type of
craft. Yeah, so we would make that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we sold Christmas trees too that year. So every month there was something going on that we got involved with trying to raise some money.
I see that, let's see, Father Lef Kulik came in September of 66. So it was at that time that Father Romek Jr. had to retire due to ill health, right?
Right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, right.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a farewell party for Father Romek Jr.?
Yes, we had a banquet for him.
Mm-hmm.
And then, he, you know, like you say, he was ill.
Mm-hmm.
So then Father Lef Kulik became our new pastor.
Mm-hmm. Father Lef Kulik is noted for his music, isn't that correct, Helen?
Right.
Uh-huh. Was he writing at that time? Was he already writing music?
Yes, he was writing music at the time. And at that time, like I said, so we were involved with Pace too, but a lot of people didn't know, like my husband and I owned a office supply store, City Office and Art, up by the college.
Mm-hmm.
And Father Lef Kulik would come and we did all his music, like Xerox, all the copies free.
Mm-hmm.
And anything he needed for his music was given to him through the store. And we donated a lot of supplies to the church and things like that. Because Tom wasn't involved in it anymore, so he thought he'd do his part. And
in that way,
in that way, right.
Uh-huh.
And then doing all the free work, and Father would bring his music up to be copied. Well, then he was telling the bishop about it and everything. So the bishop sent us a memento of Saint Cyril and Methodius Church embedded in what do you call this?
That's beautiful. It's a coin. Silver coin embedded in a lucite case.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. St. Cyril and Methodius.
Yeah, so that was from in 1969 in June. So we keep that as a souvenir.
Okay. Did Father Lef Kulik ever talk to you about the writing that he was doing, the music writing?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. He would try some of the songs at the church.
Mm-hmm.
And when he'd come up to the store, he would show us the different things he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And he printed a book for the church, too.
While he was still there?
Right.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
He had it printed. And if you would look in some of the literature down at the church, you'll see his name
yes,
in there.
Yes, I have. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Was he writing original things at this time, or was he translating some of the Slavonic songs into English? Or
Well, it was mostly original,
original
things,
uh-huh.
yes. And then he copyrighted it later, you know, putting
I
it
see.
In a book.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. After he left St. Nicholas,
right,
he did
right.
some publishing too. Okay, that's interesting. What about any problems that there might have been with the Pace Club? Do you recall anything like that?
Well, like in any group, there were your cliques,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of them were involved, and then some of them dropped out. But it seemed like it was going pretty smooth at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And then different people wanted their ideas and stuff. Well, some went okay and some didn't. So some fell out of the group. But it's like that in every
sure,
club.
Sure, it is. I know.
But we try to mm-hmm. Harmonize, but sometimes it don't work.
But it's interesting because each generation thinks problems are unique only to them. But when you see that
right,
it's happened
right.
all the time.
Oh,
like
yeah.
That.
Uh-huh. That's in every church.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's many other activities you've had here through the year. You had your turkey raffle.
Mm-hmm.
You have some of the winners from that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if my name's on here.
I like these little pace setters, the newsletters that were sent out by the club.
Right. Uh-huh. Well, these I typed up. Well, Father
Did
Left
you?
Kulik was there at the time. Well, Father, the different priests, Father
mm-hmm.
Romack and that.
Mm-hmm.
We have a list in here.
Mm-hmm.
But we would set up different things that were going on at that month. Every month one came out,
mm-hmm.
and on this one, like, there was, like, you know, the meeting for Sunday of every month, and then Father Lucas's farewell, we had that month, and hospitality, there was different groups and like that, and then everybody got a chance to bring up their suggestions and ideas
mm-hmm.
for the Pace Club. This is
mm-hmm.
what this was about. They wanted everybody to you know, put their suggestions in, and like if, you know, there's a new doing or something that they heard of from a different church or something like that, well then we would try it.
Okay.
So, and then Father Love Kulik would have his little corner.
Yeah, he had some words of wisdom each month, I see.
Right,
uh-huh.
right. And but there were different doings. Let's see.
In one of these Pace Setter newsletters, I read something interesting from Father Love Kulik. And he said that people are complaining because there is not enough involvement for them in their church, but here is their chance to take over with the
right.
social part of it, at least.
Right.
And
well, people,
why weren't there more?
Yeah. Well, people would, like you say, they wanted to socialize, but they wouldn't come.
Mm-hmm.
They had their ideas out of the church, but
mm-hmm.
they wouldn't come to the Pace meetings to point their views, you
mm-hmm.
know. And that's
mm-hmm.
what Father Left Kulik
mm-hmm.
wanted them to do. They would always bicker behind everybody, but they wouldn't come out and say it in these meetings.
I think this little poem or whatever says that right here. It said, "What kind are you?"
Right.
Do you remember that
yeah,
one?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
He has, "Are you an active member, the kind that would be missed, or are you just contented that your name is on the list? Do you attend the meetings and mingle with the flock, or do you stay at home and criticize and knock? Do you ever volunteer? Do you take an active part to help the work along, or are you satisfied to be the kind that just belongs? Do you help at the guiding stick, or leave the work or just a few and talk about the click? Come out to the meetings often and help with hand and heart. Don't be just a member, but take an active part. Think this over, member. You know right from wrong. Are you an active member, or do you just belong?" I think I had something to do with this.
Did you really?
Yes,
uh-huh.
I did.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because
that
like
caught my eye.
Uh-huh. Right. I mean, this says it all in
uh-huh.
a nutshell.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there were members and there were people that just stood in the sidelines
and griped about what the
right.
active ones are
right.
doing.
Right.
Yeah. We could print that in today's bulletin, I think, and
right.
get
well,
home
I think
to a lot
so.
Of people.
Yeah, I think Father should.
We
yeah.
should show that to
he
him.
He should take that out
mm-hmm.
and you know, because that really came in handy. Because
mm-hmm.
it was always the same ones that would be down there in the turkey raffle, on the dances, on the decorating committee.
Mm-hmm.
On the rummage sales, it was always the same.
Mm-hmm.
If even if you weren't the president or vice president, it seemed like the same ones were there then
mm-hmm.
too. It started out where it was a nice community,
mm-hmm.
and then they weed out too.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as Father Romack was there, you, like I said, you had to be there. But later on, it
oh.
started
mm-hmm.
dying out. And Pace Club lasted for a good 5-6 years.
Uh-huh. Did Father Left Kulik not have that requirement then, that one parent be there at least?
Not that I remember. I don't think he did. Father Romack did, but
uh-huh.
Father Left Kulik did.
Maybe that's one of the reasons it dwindled off too. Uh-huh. Is there any Was it disbanded for any reason in particular, or just because of the dwindling membership?
I think it was a kind of the dwindling, and then the new generation was coming in too. Our children were already going out of school,
see. Uh-huh.
So the new generation, you know, because uh-huh. like our kids were there for, well, each one 8 years. Mm-hmm. And after like 8 years, well, this I think lasted 6 years, but after that it just dwindled down.
So they should have been adding the new members all along rather than just
right.
letting them, you know.
Right, right.
The ones that were there sort of worked out of it
right.
you know, through the years.
Yeah.
And they didn't have anybody to replace them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what they had this pay squad for. Any mm-hmm. new mother, any new father that had children coming into mm-hmm. that school, they were to come down to the pay squad too.
Mm-hmm.
But it seemed like you know, they weren't doing it.
Eventually that stopped. It
mm-hmm.
didn't work out. Okay, very good. A lot of background now on the pay squad. You mentioned a few of the pastors and the assistants during this time period. Do you recall anything about some of the other ones? Father Lasky, you mentioned a little bit about him.
Well, Father Lasky, I remember him.
Okay. We were talking about Father Lasky. What you remembered about him?
Well, what I remember, like in 1960, he baptized our third child. And then he left, I think, like a year later.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think he just recently died, right?
Yes, he died about a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
There were quite a few assistants, I know, during this period.
Well, I remember Father Urich, and then there was Father Bernacki, Father Lucas, Father Lucas, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Father Eugene Yakinich.
Mm-hmm.
We're still, you know, in contact with each other.
Are you?
We send
uh-huh.
Christmas cards.
Where is he now?
He's in Pittsburgh. And
okay.
When he comes around, like he was at our daughter's wedding. And a few of these, like Father Lefkulik, we've seen about 4 years ago
mm-hmm.
at a doing.
When did we stop having the assistants? Do you recall?
I think after Father Urich left. I think he was the last one.
Was he? Did the parish decrease in size? Is that why stopped giving
yeah.
us? Or was it maybe more of a shortage of
right,
priests?
Right, that too, the uh-huh. shortage of priests. Because
uh-huh, uh-huh.
there weren't too many going in to study for them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You mentioned a little bit about you and Tom having your business, City Office and Art Supply. And I know that you've got an artistic streak in your nature, and that you do a lot of decorating for our church for the holidays and the holy days. What can you tell me about that, Helen? What are your responsibilities in that job?
Well, it happened when Father Mihalik was there. I guess there were other people decorating this time, and we sort of like, with the children and everything like that, I wasn't involved too much in it, except like cleaning the church and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then this couple that was decorating, they quit or whatever, so it was like a week before Christmas, and Father Mihalik needed somebody else, so then Mary Levesque said that I used to do it for Pace Club, decorating for
mm-hmm.
the different functions, the dances and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So he called me up and asked me if I'd decorate. So I says, well, I didn't have really no idea. So then I says, God was with me. I had a dream
really?
In my dream how to do it. So
uh-huh.
then I just went out and cut some branches and put poinsettias on it and bows. And then our daughter, when she was married, I mean, I'm going in reverse here.
That's
but,
okay.
When our daughter was married, I ordered these candlestick holders to go on the pews. Well, I showed Father Mihalik the pictures, and he just loved them. So then,
oh, you mean when she was married, those were just rented?
Those were rented. Yeah,
oh,
we
okay.
rented. She got married
okay.
at St. Dominic's, and
uh-huh.
I rented those,
uh-huh.
and they had the bows on them. So that gave me some ideas what to do.
Uh-huh.
So then we rented them for the church for Christmas,
uh-huh.
and then I got the live tree branches because Father wanted everything live. They didn't want no cardboard or nothing mm-hmm. like that, and this was what was mm-hmm. being done in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So I went around my Christmas trees here and cut the branches and made the different, like I said, put poinsettias on and bows and tied this to the candelabra, like. And then we decorated, put bows and big branches up by the pillars and decorated a church. And I didn't know he was back there, and here I look back there, he's watching me, and he goes, Helen, he goes, I never dreamt that something like this would be so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
He says, from
mm-hmm.
scratch, you know, mm-hmm. doing it. And he was back there crying. I shouldn't
he's
say
really
it.
Emotional.
You know? Yeah, he was really emotional because mm-hmm. it really come out beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And I really got a lot of compliments. And ever since that, they say the church is really beautiful. So I decorate for Easter, Christmas, and I do the weddings. And
mm-hmm.
In between, if mm-hmm. Father needs different things done.
Are you responsible for ordering the altar flowers and that type of thing?
No, the secretary orders the altar flowers,
okay.
But I order
okay.
anything that I need for decorating.
For your decorating.
Mm-hmm.
So the first year then you rented this
candle.
Few candles, and
right.
then after that did you purchase them?
Right, the church
uh-huh.
purchased them.
Mm-hmm.
Father mm-hmm. Mahalik purchased them,
mm-hmm.
and so they've been with the church ever since.
That was a good investment.
Right, right. Oh, they're beautiful.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
So that was my... initiative, what do you call
mm-hmm.
it, you know, my thing for the
mm-hmm.
church, those candles.
Who helps you with the decoration, or is it mainly you?
Well, it's mainly me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for the pew things, I do that myself. But like
mm-hmm.
the main altar and like the decorating of the trees, the men bring in the trees and
mm-hmm.
set them up, and then some of the women decorate it. And
mm-hmm.
then I'll foresee the thing a little bit, you know, and... make sure all the flowers are straight and all that. But the other decorating is mostly my ideas and, you know, with
uh-huh.
help. I mean, the men and the other women work too. We spend about 2 days down here from morning till night.
Uh-huh.
And then the second day, if we're not done, we go back there and we stay till midnight if we have to complete it.
And you usually wait till right up left
right,
day or
you
so
have
before the holiday.
To. Yeah,
uh-huh.
you have to.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you're involved so much in home, you know, in your
uh-huh.
homework, and you have to go down and do that.
No, but I mean, just liturgically, the whole season is penitential until the end, right? So the decorations
right.
can't go up too early.
Right,
uh-huh.
right. They have to go
uh-huh.
up a day or two before the a holiday.
Okay. It's interesting about that dream you had, that you actually saw what you were supposed to do. Do you remember that?
Right. Well, I uh-huh. still do, because like I said, I was thinking, I'm wondering, gee, what am I going to do? Because he asked me like at the last minute,
mm-hmm.
and so I went to bed, and here a thought came to me while in the dream,
mm-hmm.
and what to do with these branches, because I've never seen them before anywhere, you know, to do that. So, like I said, I just went behind the house here and cut the branches off. And
now, what do? Bundle them together? And
well, you put one or two together, and then you, tie the ribbon on it,
uh-huh.
and then put some, I put silk poinsettias on it.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
we use that every year.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, Helen, were there any other activities that you have been involved with through the years?
Well, there, while our children were in school, we were involved in PTG up there, and
mm-hmm.
we almost had the same kind of functions there as we did down at Pace Club.
Mm-hmm.
And I was involved with Homeroom Mother and the different card parties up there.
Okay.
I don't remember if I was on any of the, like president or vice president. I think 1 year I was secretary or something.
Okay.
And but mostly like I was involved in charge with a couple other women with the card parties up there too.
Okay, so you had church responsibilities plus school responsibilities, right?
Right,
in the
Pidoi House uh-huh. and all that.
Pidoi House.
Mhm. And Homeroom Mother.
Mhm. Were most moms at that time still staying home with the kids? Or did you have a lot of working moms then, too?
Well, mostly they were staying home with
mm-hmm.
the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know these days it's hard to get volunteers for things like that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And, let's see, what about in the more recent years? What have those been like for you, as far as parish activities? from the time of maybe Father Koval or Father Duker? Are there anything significant about that period that you can think of?
Well, I remember working under Father Koval too. We used to type up different things and run them off for the parish. I don't think they're in the Pace Club. And then our son was altar boy, so we were involved in that, different doings with him. And then the kids were up at school, and they were in different functions up there too, and won different awards and stuff, and you'd have to go to that. Our daughter was in 3 spelling bees.
Was she?
And then all 3 of them won awards up there. One in Dolores in math when she graduated, and Kathy in math when she graduated, and then Tommy, and he got the history award. So they were all good kids, and they did real good up there.
Anything significant about the time of Father Duker that you can recall?
Well, there wasn't too much involvement with him outside of we cleaned the church and did the linens and things like that. But I don't think there was too much to do with functions.
Okay. Your children were already older at this time.
Right. I have one married daughter. She's in Texas, and she just presented us with our first grandchild October 25th.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So they'll be home for Christmas.
It's a baby girl, right?
Baby girl, Rochelle Marie.
Okay.
And they bought a house in Texas, and then her husband's a doctor. He has a doctor degree in chemical engineering, and she's a teacher. And then the second one's a boy, and he's here in Youngstown. He bought a home. And
what's his name?
Tom.
Okay.
And he's working with the Duncans. They remodel and do baths. And he's like a carpenter and refinishing and with wood.
Yeah, they're good.
And then Kathy, she's single. She's working with the government. She's with National Security in Maryland. And she just bought a home.
Oh,
so we're all proud of her. But they, like this is, Dolores went to YSU and Kathy went to YSU. And they graduated first as like 1% of their class when they graduated.
Wonderful.
And they were involved up there with all the sororities and things. And then Kathy, she typed up a, what do you call them? Not algebra. What's next?
Geometry?
No, the big one.
Trigonometry.
Anyway, a father of what's his name? Fairs, Professor Fairs. She worked under him, and she typed up all his books.
Oh, really?
The math books that he published, and she went over all the problems. She even found some mistakes that the professor made, and
she proofread for him.
Yeah, and typed them all out, and then they dedicated the book to her after
really?
She typed it.
Oh,
yeah.
That's a thrill.
So that's all over the country now because he sold all his math books.
Wonderful.
So, yeah. So they're involved.
Are they remaining active in the Byzantine Rite, or have they joined other churches?
Well, Dolores is teaching in a Catholic, Roman Catholic church in Texas, and there's a Roman Catholic church like 2 blocks away from them, and the closest Byzantine church, I believe, is in Dallas or Houston, and that's kind of far for them to go.
It's not possible for them to get there. Okay. Is there anything else important that we didn't cover?
Well, the only thing, going back to our family, there were 3 priests in my family and a nun, you know, and that's what, like Father Cyril Yablonski, he's by ritual. That's my cousin.
He's your cousin. I know Sister Jude. Well, Jude.
Yeah, yeah, and she was, Sister Jude and Father Gabe. Father Gabe was with the Army. And he retired from the Army, and now he's with St. Jude in Columbiana.
Right.
Father Cyril's a missionary priest, and he had some missions at our church.
Are they brothers?
Right.
Oh, okay.
And Sister Jude at the time was their sister. And Father Cyril Yablonski, now he's by ritual. He joined
Is
the Byzantine
right?
Rite.
Oh,
yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Where does he live?
Well, he was in Chicago, and now he's in Kentucky. But he goes around the United States.
How did he decide to become, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, he was given different missions all over the mm-hmm. United States, and then everybody was, you know, he was so interested in the Byzantine uh-huh. Rite that he went, mm-hmm. now he's bi-ritual.
This family was all from Youngstown, I know.
Right, uh-huh. This is my mother's mm-hmm. sister's family. And then on my dad's side, there's a priest, Father Vizdos. Well, he died a couple years ago.
I'm sorry, that was on your father's side?
Right.
Father Vizdos. How do you spell that?
H-V-I-Z-D-O-S.
Okay.
H and that is silent.
How was that?
He was related? A cousin.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Okay, so looking back, is there anything that you would have liked to see done differently through the years?
Well, like it says, with the involvement, if people would get more involved in the church, mm-hmm. and I think Father Dennis is trying to bring out more of the children in mm-hmm. the church to do their things. And I think if, like the children and the youth would get more involved, because, you know, they're the future generation of the church. Because once yeah. the older people yeah. die mm-hmm. out, well, then this younger group come in. And like even up at school, you know, like we had to be involved. But I think the youth and the children should get more involved in it.
Mm-hmm. To feel that they belong.
Right.
Okay, and speaking of the children and the next generations, do you have any words of wisdom?
Words of wisdom.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Well, I'd like to see them coming to church
mm-hmm.
and get more involved.
Mm-hmm.
And be the next generation, I guess, and pray for peace, good health for everybody,
mm-hmm.
and
amen,
else?
Right?
Amen.
Okay, thanks.
Amen. I don't know. What else do you want? I don't know.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Oh, no,
we're
that's
finished.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Finished, but
thank
I don't
you.
Know what
mm-hmm.
coming off of.
After the interview was completed, Helen and I were talking, and she brought up a little bit about her background as a child on a dairy farm, and I thought that was really interesting and that it might be significant for future generations. Helen, you want to tell us a little bit, like a typical day on your farm?
Typical day on the farm, huh? Well, as we were growing up, I mean, there was 9 of us, and the older brothers did a lot of the farm work until me and my sister come of age to do a lot of the work. But all of us pitched in. We helped to feed the chickens and the hogs, and we had horses and cattle. It was mostly cattle, and we planted gardens. We had wheat, corn, you name it,
mm-hmm.
and sold that or fed it to the cattle.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, when my sister and I started milking the cattle, we had like milking machines, electric milking machines, and we would we had to like milk. Well, at that time there was probably 35 cows at that time, and we would milk the cows and then bring the milk down to the milk house, and we had to strain it and purify it and then cool it off. And then we would take it, put in milk cans, and put it out on the road, on a stand.
For
the milkman to
mm-hmm.
pick them up, right.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that was done, we had to go back into the barn and clean the barn, because the inspector would come for Board of Health. He would come
mm-hmm.
any time, and we never knew it when he had come. So we had to feed the cattle and clean the barn out, leave them out the pasture. And then come in the house and take a bath and make our lunches, and then we're off to school.
So all that was done before you even went to school.
Right,
mm-hmm.
right.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we come back from school, we started all over again.
Mm-hmm.
And then if there was farm work to do, like my dad worked down Sheet and Tube, and if he was on 311, he would like bale the hay in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we came home, we had to go out in the fields and collect all the bales
mm-hmm.
and put them in a barn, stack them up in a barn for winter use for the cattle. And
how old were you at this time?
Well, we were probably 14, 15
yeah.
years old.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But we did it when we were younger, too.
Mm-hmm.
And we started out, I could hardly reach the pedal of the tractor to drive it through the fields. And I would be on a tractor and stop, start, go with the bales. You know, the guys would pick them up and put them on a tractor, and then I'd go to the next pile. And same way in a cornfield. At that time, we didn't have corn pickers. we picked corn by hand and shelled all the, you know, leaves off the ear corn, threw them in a wagon. And then if we had to, do it for the cattle, make feed for the cattle, we had a corn grinder, and we did all this by hand. Somebody would throw the corn in, and then you'd have the shells. But then eventually they had the corn picker, and this would pick the corn. But we worked, and then we had a coal furnace in the house, and then towards the fall and winter, we would go up in the woods and cut down all the dry trees and cut that off, because I remember my dad, we had this big saw, two-handle saw, and we cut the trees down and put them into little branches and little pieces for the furnace. So we would go up in the woods like 5, 6 o'clock in the morning before your day started, because you had your milking to do and all that, and then during the day all the other farm work. So it was a busy time, but like I said, we worked, and for future generation, like I was saying about my children, they would be getting dressed when the school bus was coming. They didn't know what work was doing. We like broke our backs, but we would get up in a barns and pitch all the bales and put them up in a barn, and then we would trash the wheat. And then all the straw would go for the cattle for underneath them during the night, and the hay was fed to them. So we had 118 acres out there, like I says, and every inch of it, except like the woods, we had two sections that was all trees, and there was maybe 10, 15 acres of that. But all this was done, that was a typical day out on a farm. But we enjoyed it. We used to ride the horses, and when we got rid of a couple of the horses, we used to, there was one cow, we used to even ride her home.
Is that right? You were a real cowgirl, weren't you?
Right. Well, a lot of times it'd be foggy in the morning, and you wouldn't know where the cows were.
Oh.
So then I got up a system, and I would call the certain cow. Well, she'd lead the rest of them in, and then we wouldn't have to go out there. But sometimes, if they wouldn't come in, and it was foggy, we'd go into this one woods. They weren't there, so you had to go into the other section to see if they were there. So we were so tired, so then we'd just ride one of them home. But we did have fun, but we did work. It was a lot of work. So everybody asks if I'd want a life on a farm again. I said, no way. I'll take the city life.
You probably just accepted it, that was what you had to do. You didn't resent it all that.
Oh, no, no. That was our chores, and we accepted that, because we were never lacking of anything, because we had the cattle. My dad butchered the pigs and the cattle or whatever, little calf. Even on my wedding day, I had veal for my wedding, and there's very few weddings that have veal. He killed the fatted calf for his first daughter that got married.
The supreme sacrifice.
Right. Well, I was worth it. I worked for it, I think. No.
Yeah,
but anyway, no, we worked. I mean, like I said, that was our chores, and we never really resented it. That was all in growing up. And I'd like to see the future generation work like that, but you know, get involved.
So different now.
Oh yeah, but like I said, so we had my brothers and sisters. They did that, but there was always food on the table, and you never lacked any food because it was always out there, from chickens to eggs to you know, geese and ducks and pigs. What else do we have? Horses. Well, we never killed that, but I mean, you know, the cattle, and never had a goat. What else do we have? But it was interesting, and I wouldn't change it if I had to do it over. I'd probably do it, but then now in this life, I think I'll just take. I'm still active, but it's in a different way.
Yeah.
You know, helping my father-in-law and my dad, and we took care of my mother when she was sick before she passed away, my mother-in-law. So I'm still involved, and
you're just channeling your energies in a different direction.
Right, that's right, yeah. But I enjoyed it. It was interesting, and like I says, I'll do it again.
Thank you.